Time upstairs. Good. Our theme this morning, or our topic, is what is at the top of your list this season? And I thought we'd start with another little quiz. You've had one, but these are emojis. An emoji is a digital image or icon, and it's there to express an emotion. So we're going to pop a carol on, and again, you can just nudge the person next to you and say if you think what it is. Here's the first one. What carol could that be, looking at the emojis? There's a bit of a clue. You've just heard it sung. Silent night, silent night. And if you see the first one hasn't got a mouth and that half a night just explains it, silent night. Okay, let's try the second one. Now you've got it. Can you guess the carol from that emoji? Oh, we've got it over there. Move it on, Stu. Joy to the world, joy to the world. Okay, let's try another one. This is a hard one. I tried this last week at West End Chapel and stumped them. Oh, let's move it on. It is, see amid the winter snow. You were close, Anna, but not quite. And if you see the imagery, you can figure it out. It's always easy afterwards, isn't it? Let's try another one. Oh. It's Roy. The guy used to say on the telly, see what you say and say what you see. The first Noel. Well done. The first Noel. I think we've got one more. Or that could be the end. Let's try it. Yep. My favourite carol. Hark the herald angels sing. Easy, easy. Now, the Christmas story contains a number of carols, a number of hymns. For example, in chapter 1, verse 46 to 55, we have Mary's carol. Mary's song, a song of trust. In chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, we have the angel's carol, a song of peace. We have read it together. In Luke 2, 29 to 32, we have Simeon's carol, a song of hope. And then today we're looking in Luke 1, 67 to 79, Zechariah's carol, a song of faith. So carols dominate the Christmas story. Now I asked the question, what's at the top of your list this season? I don't know if you still write a list or you just drop big hints. Well, for Zach and Liz, a miracle baby was top of their list. We read about it in verses 55 to verse 66. Now, you don't need to be a rocket scientist or a gynecologist to know that when you reach a certain age in life, it is impossible to have children. You go to be cruel past your sell-by date. To be nice, your body ages. You're unable to produce a baby. But for Zach and Liz, that was always top of their Christmas list, a baby. And with God, nothing is impossible. Their prayer was heard, their request was granted. They got what they wished for. So for Zach and Liz, top of the list, a miracle baby. Second in the passage, for Zach, a Christmas number one. You know, if you're a pop star, what you want is a Christmas number one. You can live off the royalties year after year after year after year for the rest of your life. I read this past week that the worst Christmas song ever, I wonder if you know what it is. It was Paul McCartney's, actually, and it was voted the worst Christmas song ever. I've forgotten the title of it, but you know when the soldiers met on Dead Men's Land, that particular carol? He only gets £400,000 a year in royalties from that song. Hey, you want to make money? Make yourself a Christmas number one. Zach got it. And do you know why he was number one? Because Cliff Richard wasn't around that year. He had no competition, did he? Had Cliff been around, he probably would have taken the top spot. But Zach had a song of praise. And then the third thing, for Mary and Joseph, they too got a miracle child, a son. A miracle because Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. The Bible says he was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. What actually that means, I do not know. A miracle. If you can explain away a miracle, I'd love to read your book afterwards, okay? But those are the three things that are the key elements of our big passage today. For Zach and Liz, a miracle baby. For Zach, a song of praise, a Christmas number one. And for Mary and Joseph, a miracle baby. And they were told, you give him the name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. You know, if we hadn't been in lockdown today, I was off to Hyde Park this afternoon, and I would have been debating with some of the Muslims. And this is a perfect time to talk to them. Because Muslims have swallowed the lie that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. Someone else took his place. But this, that the whole Christmas story reminds us the very reason he came to earth, to die, a savior. How could he save us if he didn't die? It was through his death, his sacrifice, that humanity is saved. And even the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. But alas, I shan't be debating today, thanks to Tier 4. Now, with that threefold division, we're going to just look at the story. And you'll probably know where we're going from. So first of all then, for Zach and Liz, a miracle baby. A miracle baby. If we pop that slide on for a few minutes. Verse 57 to 66. Now in one sense, every child born is a miracle. Someone has said this. The child must know that he is a miracle. That since the beginning of the world, there hasn't been, and until the end of the world, there will not be another child like him or like her. Every child born is a miracle. And there are three things to note from this first section, this first story. First of all, verse 57, we have a promise fulfilled. A promise fulfilled. Listen, there are four words every Christian needs to remember and should never forget. And they are these. God keeps his promise. God keeps his promise. He will never say one thing and then do another. He will never use the expression we often use, oh well, promises are meant to be broken. God traffics in truth. He always, always, always keeps his word. And God made a promise in chapter 1, verse 13, to Zach and Elizabeth. Quote, the angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. And now here in verse 57, God keeps his word. God traffics in truth. This promise is fulfilled. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth not just to a child, because God traffics in truth, a son, just as he promised. And when the time of the birth was near, the people flocked to the house to celebrate the birth of a child. That's what they did in that culture at that time. And the people would break out with music and song. It was party time. Woo, as we would have said during the kids' spot. That's what the crowd were doing in verse 58, celebrating a child. But boy, did they get a shock. The neighbors and the relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy, but they were silenced when they were told the name of the child. So first of all, we have a promise fulfilled. Secondly, we have an instruction obeyed, verse 59 to 63. God kept his side of the bargain. Now it's time for Zach and Liz to keep their side of the bargain. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zachariah. But the mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. And they said, no one among your relatives has that name. And they made names to the signs to the father, who was mute, struck dumb at the time for his unbelief. And he wrote on a tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote the name John. John. You see, if you were a Jewish boy, you took a family name. People still do that today. We do it in our family. My daughter is called Catherine Anna Curley. Her mother is Penny Anna Curley. And Penny's mum is Anna Hope. Anna is a name that's been passed down. And how long it will go on for, we don't know. Now, in my family, it's different. Now, I can trace my ancestry all the way back to Anthony James Curley. You want to know who he was? He was my dad. That's about as far as we go. My dad, sadly, came to the UK from America because his parents were killed in a car crash. And so he came to live with an auntie, him and his brother, in the UK. And because of the tragic situation, he would never speak about his past. And so we have no family history on his side. In comparison, on Penny's side, we can go back, and the name Anna is there all the way through. Now, for Zachariah and Liz, they would keep a family name. It was the tradition. It was expected. It was the norm. But not on this occasion. They were told, you name him John, which means Jehovah's gift. A good description of the parents' gratitude for this unexpected bundle of joy. And this gift was not just to them, but to the nation. He was the forerunner, the one who would make hills flat and fill in the valleys and clear any obstacles so that when the Messiah come, he could point at him and say, stare, gaze, behold, fix your eyes. There's the Lamb of God. If you miss him, there will not be another one. It's like a train coming. Get hold of him while you can. And so John the Baptist was a gift to the nation, and he certainly fulfilled his name. So first of all then, in this section we're looking at this morning, we've got Zach and Liz, a miracle baby. And I suppose if we want a real application of this, it's this. That God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. If you've been praying about something and there seems to be no answer to prayer, it doesn't mean God's denying you an answer. Doesn't mean God is necessarily saying no. He may be saying wait. And when the time is right, and when the circumstances are right, that prayer will be answered. Wait does not imply no. Delays to answered prayer can cause either doubt or lack of faith within us, but you have to keep on praying, keep on trusting. So if God is not answering our prayer about a particular thing, a particular job, a particular partner, particular family situation, keep on praying. God's delays are not God's denials. You know, my favorite illustration of that is John 11. John chapter 11, you've got Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a family unit who were close to Jesus. Lazarus falls ill. So what do Mary and Martha do? They send news to their good friend Jesus. And talk about twisting the emotional elbow. When the messengers arrive to Jesus, they say, Jesus, the one you love. This isn't anybody. This isn't Fred from a village you've never been to. This is the one you love. This is a good buddy of yours. He's ill. Come. And John 11 says, Jesus deliberately stays where he is 2 days. He delays. What's he doing? Well, the Bible says nothing. He's not healing people. He's not teaching people. He just delays 2 days. And then when he arrives at Bethany, Martha runs out to him and says, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. You're too late. Where were you? You needed to be here 2 days ago. And Jesus said, it's not the end. He will rise again. And she said, yeah, at the day of resurrection, but we want him now. God's delays are not God's denials. You see, Jesus didn't just want to heal Lazarus and make him physically better. He was about to raise the dead, the greatest miracle you could perhaps ever see, something far greater that would bring glory to him and glory to God the Father. But for them to experience the greater glory, they had to wait. They had to be patient. They had to trust. And maybe God's denials at the moment are he wants to do something even greater if you keep on trusting. So don't give up. So first of all, then we have Zach and Liz, a baby. Secondly, for Zachariah, a song of praise, verses 67 to 79 of chapter 1. A song of praise. Now notice that before Zachariah even opened his mouth, we're told the Holy Spirit filled his soul and inspired him to sing. So he's not just speaking here as a proud dad. He's not just speaking from the emotions of seeing a child, his son being born. This is This is an inspired song from the Holy Spirit himself. He's speaking like the prophets of old. He's speaking on God's authority. He's speaking the words God has put in his heart, put in his mind by the Holy Spirit. This is a message from God. And although John the Baptist, this baby, was center of attention, Zechariah now moves the attention off the baby and onto the Lord. Off the baby and onto the Lord. And the theme of the song is not hard to find, because twice, at the beginning and at the end, he uses a particular word. The word is come. Come. In verse 68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. And then in verse 78, at the end of the song, the rising sun will come to us from heaven. So the theme of this song is one is coming to us and coming in person. Now here's a little question for you. Who dresses in red and gives to the children presents this Christmas? Who dresses in red and gives to children presents this Christmas? And the answer is, well, Marcus Rashford. He dresses in red, plays for Manchester United, and he's been giving food parcels to all the hungry children across the UK. What do you mean you didn't get it? Oh. Now, here's the point. Marcus Rashford saw a need that there would be hungry children who weren't at school and parents would be struggling to feed them. So he didn't just blog about it. He came into the situation. He actively got involved. He spoke to people. You saw him giving out parcels himself. He came to those children and met a need. And that's the idea in this song. Twice we have the word come. He's come in person and he's actively involved. He's not sitting in heaven talking about it. He's come. And that's the God we worship, one who gets involved. Let me show you a little video. It's called The Pit, and it's based on a poem by Kenneth D. Philkins.
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray five times a day facing east and to follow five important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved.
has come to us, entered our world to lift us out of the pit, the hole of sin and death. There are 4 points, just quickly, from Zechariah's song. First of all, he has come, why? To redeem his people, verse 68, to redeem his people. You know, I always thought the word redeem was a dead word. Yeah, you used it in religious circles, but, you know, young people wouldn't use the word redeemed. It's a dead word. But actually, they use it all the time. Did you know that? And I discovered that all around the world, people of all nations and all ages are using the word redeemed all the time. Let me show you. This is what I was given for my birthday. It's an App Store's iTunes card. And do you know what? You go on the website and you redeem it. It's got a redemption code. All you do is look for redeem, redemption, put your code in, and then money is transferred from one account and credited to you. Redeemed's being used all the time. That's why Jesus came, to redeem his people. We're in debt, he's in credit. We're in debt because of our sins, he's holy. But he gave his life to put us back in credit. He paid the debt we owed so that we could be free. So verse 68, he's come to redeem his people. Verse 69, he has come to raise a horn of salvation. He is raising up a horn of salvation. This is the only time in the New Testament where Jesus is called a horn. So to understand it, you've got to go all the way back to the Old Testament. You know, a few years ago, we went to Israel as a family on holiday, and one of our family members brought a horn, a shofar horn, and he can play it. Now, that's not the horn it's talking about here, a musical instrument that brings pleasure to the ears as long as it's played correctly. It's talking about a wild animal's horn, that of a bull or a goat or a ram. And they are destructive. They are destructive. If they charge at you with those horns, you're in big trouble. And that's the symbol here, one of strength and power. And it's used, for example, in Psalm 92, verse 9 and 10. Micah chapter 4, verse 3, where it talks about a horn causing problems, strength and destruction. And Jesus is a horn because he has the power, the strength to destroy the power of the evil one, to destroy the power of death, to destroy the power of sin. So thirdly, he's called, he has come to save us from our enemies, verse 71 and 74, salvation from our enemies. Those enemies I've mentioned, sin, death. And there's another one, the devil, sin, death, and the devil. And the New Testament clearly says he has destroyed each one through his death upon the cross. And if we had time, I'd give you all the Bible verses. And then fourthly, he's come to forgive our sins, verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Do you know, we entitled this, "What's at the top of your Christmas list this season?" I tell you what's not on the top of my Christmas list, a mousetrap. Don't buy me one. Do you know why? We ain't got mice. It's not a problem. If you gave me a mousetrap, I would look at it and say, thanks. And we'll wrap it up and give it to the Macnishes next year for Christmas, something like that. Don't give me a mousetrap, I don't want one. You know, I've got to the age where most things in life I've got, I'm not after presents anymore. I want experiences. Give me a ticket to a play or a concert of brilliant, I would, fantastic. Give me objects and I just think, yeah, I don't need it, don't need it. You know, people look at the forgiveness of sins and think, yep, don't need it. Actually, it is our greatest need, because it is our sins that separate us from God, and it is our sins that will keep us away from God for the whole of eternity. We will never get to heaven unless we find forgiveness for sins. And if there's a heaven, there's a hell. You can't have one without the other. Jesus made it very clear. And if we're heading in one direction, we need those sins forgiven. They are not a useless gift, an optional extra. It's an essential. We must find forgiveness. And the Bible says forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. So 4 reasons he's come. And finally, the last slide. Don't worry, there's 21 verses, but I'm only going to speak for 1 minute. Have you ever noticed with a dog that if you say to a dog, "Look at that tree over there, that's the one for you today," He'll look at your finger. He's not going to turn around and look at the tree. And if you lift your finger up, the dog's eyes go up. You lift your finger down because he thinks you've got a treat in your hand and he's waiting for you to give it them. In other words, it's frustrating, it's amusing, but dogs cannot understand you're trying to say, look at the tree, because they're focusing in on the wrong thing. They're looking at your finger instead. And when it comes to the perhaps one of the most famous passages in the Bible, the world looks at the finger instead of the object. We look at the manger, we look at the star, we look at the stable, we look at this, that, and the other, and we miss Jesus, the one it's all about. And that's why the angelic being said to those shepherds, a Savior has been born. Don't get lost in the star. Don't worry about the stable. Don't worry about putting on fine clothes to greet him. You get down there and make sure you meet the baby. That's your priority. A Savior has been born, who is Christ, the Messiah, the one the whole nation has been yearning for. And he's the Lord. He's the Lord. May we discover that afresh this Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, for Zach and Liz, it was a baby. For Zach, it was a song. For Mary and Joseph, a baby. Help us not to get sidetracked this Christmas, but to get our priorities, our lists right, and to put you number one. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You've listened really well. Thank you for that. Let's conclude with a final carol. If you need to sneak out, then we shan't be offended, but I'm sure you've got time to enjoy our singers. Let's conclude with a carol.